Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Wednesday, 25 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today is Joachim Gini from Benguela Global Fund Managers. Coronation results and Data Tech versus Bytes Technology. We have such an uninspiring tech space on our JSE. Jane Shoemake from Janus Henderson Investors. Record quarter for dividends, especially emerging markets and especially India. Sean Saunders from Revex. What was the key investing lesson from that Terra Network collapse of, I think we're now 2 weeks or so ago? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from Reuters. Social media stocks lose billions after Snapchat parent warning. Snap Inc. shares lost 40% and sparked a sector-wide sell-off on Tuesday after profit warning from the parent company signaled tough times ahead for the digital ad industry. Business Day, systems crash at Standard Bank over the weekend, not related to the three other incidents. Blank blames failure of a component for the outage. It's really simple. Banking. What's the core of banking? Moving money from A to B. And when I couldn't do that on Saturday, Morning markets. US was red. S&P down 0.8 and NASDAQ off 2.2%. Asia's mixed with Sydney up 0.7 and Tokyo down 0.1%. Commodities mostly green. Gold, $1,868 an ounce. Brent, $114.89 a barrel. Platinum, $943. Palladium, $2,007 an ounce. Rand, $1,570. Top 40 opening call, giant green day, opening up 720 points. That's about almost 1.25%. That is 10 cent trades up 0.5% during the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning out to Zaki Mguni, Benguela Fund Managers. Well, I appreciate the early morning. Coronation results out yesterday. Not a bad set of numbers. I mean, obviously some pressure. Markets have been a bit tough. They've seen some outflows from assets under management. But if I look at PE of around 9, dividend yield around 10, price to OM 2.2%, is there value here?
Yeah, good morning, Simon, and good morning to your listeners. Certainly, we do think that there is value. I think if you look at how robust their business model is, they've managed to stay within or in line with the movement in revenue, predominantly because of their cost management or a variable cost model. So certainly, if revenues are going to come down, they will benefit on that, in that the cost will go down. But it is certainly a business that is that has got scale, and I think it's a robust business. Certainly, we think there is value in it.
And very capital light. I mean, we see that from the dividend. I mean, basically, they take their headline earnings per share and pay the vast majority of it to shareholders as dividend, because it's, you work in the industry, this isn't where you need to build factories and stuff. It's IP.
Sure. And I think what investors can think about is that if you assume that they just keep the current AUM, even if markets rally, for over a 10-year period, they would have paid you back your money if you bought the share price currently. So there are very few companies in the market today that offer you such certainty. Certainly, I mean, there is a risk that markets could collapse, but if they maintain on average over a 10-year period, you should be fine over that period.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. As you say, if they don't grow for the next decade, you're going to get your money back, and you'll still, of course, hold a coronation share at the end of the decade. Our tech sector, I mentioned it in the intro, it's truthfully not much of a tech sector. We had Data Tech and Bytes Technology yesterday. I mean, are either of them of interest? We used to, 20 years ago we had a bit, but even now there's a few others, but there's not a lot there. Data Tech, Bytes, either of them exciting?
Yeah, I'd probably say Bytes looks quite interesting. I think that they transition in their business more into software and services. Mm-hmm. And I think that model is actually quite stable, in that it's an annuity revenue stream. So they seem to be to have done well in the current period. I mean, not to to understate. I mean, DataTech also did well.
Mm-hmm.
They both grew like 13% roughly on the top line. But certainly, I would probably think that because there's software and services, more software and services within Bytes, I'd probably go with that in the current environment.
Yeah, and I take your point around that, and particularly in terms of services, and you get your services into as large as institutions, and almost in a sense, I suppose, like coronation, not quite, but you've got that security of revenue through annuity.
Yeah, so they seem to have been doing well. I mean, in terms of the volume of business, it looks like they grew by about 26% if you look at the gross invoiced income. So that's Bytes. So certainly, it does look like they are doing well, and you can see it in the gross profit margin as well. That opened up as they gained scale in the product market. So basically, they're getting to spread the cost, same cost over more clients. And I think that is positive for their business.
I take your point on that. I hadn't noticed that, but that scale is hugely important. We'll leave it there. Rakim Guni, Benguela Fund Managers, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Jane Shoemake of Janus Henderson Investors. Their quarterly dividend report comes out. We chat with Jane pretty much every quarter because I'm a data nerd and I love the deep dive on dividends. Jane, over the months we've been chatting, or the years we've been chatting, dividends have been picking up post-pandemic commodity boom cycle. But Q1 of this year sort of made a new record, up 11%. Dividends, over $300 billion.
Yeah, it was much better than we anticipated, actually. And I think if we just look back, we had global dividends fall around 10% in 2020 because of the impact of the pandemic. We saw them bounce back about 15% last year. And now we're above pre-pandemic levels. So it's really been a very encouraging start to 2022 for dividend investors.
I want to come to an outlook, but we'll leave that for the end. You do also comment that, I mean, 94% of companies have raised payouts or held them steady. I talk with a lot of CEOs and CFOs, and many of them seem to have come out of the pandemic stronger than they went in. Of course, many didn't survive the pandemic, but certainly the companies out there are producing and are growing profits and certainly growing dividends.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because what we saw was during the pandemic was a large number of companies cut or suspended their dividends. And then when they have come back to paying dividends, some of them have come back at a much more lower and sustainable level. So we've come back to a base that is more realistic for a number of businesses. And therefore, from here, I think there's some good underpinning that they can continue to grow those dividends. And then in addition, the reason we've had such a strong quarter is because we've had some extraordinary numbers out of the mining companies and some payments, some specials as well. And so that has helped. And plus the banks coming back to pay dividends after the regulation we saw during the pandemic, where a number around the world stopped paying. So they've come back as well. So it's really mining, oil and some of those financials coming back. Hence why we're above pre-pandemic levels now. I think we've got more realistic levels in a lot of sectors for dividends to grow from this point onwards.
Yeah, I remember chatting around the banks, and of course, as you mentioned, many banks around the world either just stopped or were requested by authorities. Mining is absolutely booming, but emerging markets coming through on a headline growth number, the largest growth in India, absolutely the standout.
Yeah, and I think in emerging markets, you know, you've got a reliance there really on some of these mining and oil companies. And then generally you've got quite a lot of financials. I was looking at, you know, the South African market. There's very much metals and mining are very big part of the ore index, as are the banks, financial services, insurance. So when those areas are doing well, those markets tend to do well as well.
What sort of outlook are we looking for the rest of the year? I mean, you mentioned that sort of when dividends returned,
post-pandemic, they kind of came back at a more sustainable level. But 2022 has been just curveball after curveball. And we've got, you know, wars in Ukraine. We've got inflation in Western Europe, North America. We've got rising rates. Have you got any sort of expectation for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I mean, we had such a good, strong first quarter, but we haven't actually upgraded our forecast. We've kept it the same. So we're expecting about $1.54 trillion. To put that in some context, it's about growth of around 7%. My point I would make to listeners is that dividends are less volatile than earnings. And so we are clearly facing a number of uncertainties globally, and stock markets have been very, very challenged so far this year. But I think you can rely on dividends to be less volatile and to be more sustainable than some of those earnings numbers. And as I said, we have reset back to more sustainable levels in a whole range of sectors. So I feel quite confident that we're going to get some dividend growth this year, which is helpful when you've got inflation running at the levels it is. You know, dividends, unlike coupons, do give you some level of inflation protection because they can grow.
It's a great point. It's also helpful, of course, in markets having a tough time of it. And yeah, I was thinking, the Netflix, the Teslas, who've you know seen share prices collapse. But two important points from that: neither of those are dividend payers, and of course, share prices is not an indication of dividend at all.
No, and we've got to remember that what was driving markets over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years has very much been those growth stocks, those tech stocks. Some of them that, as you said, didn't pay dividends. We've then had Snap today coming out with, you know, the stock was off 40%, really disappointing numbers. And what we've seen is some of those lockdown darlings like Netflix and Snap. Really, I think investors had started to project those levels of growth going on into perpetuity. And clearly, they're facing some of the challenges that other companies are facing in this global economic outlook we have. And what we do and what we've always come back to is those companies that generate cash flow, have decent, strong balance sheets and pay you that cash dividend. They've been really out of favor for a really, really long time. And it looks like to me that the market is rotating to recognize the value in some of those stocks at the moment and is also taking some of those other share prices that I think have overextended themselves down very sharply.
Yeah, and of course, I know a lot of investors don't focus much on dividends, but they are a part of a return. And if you've got a dividend-paying stock, you're getting returns this year. We'll leave it there. Jane Shoemaker, she, of course, of Janus Henderson Investors. As always, Jane, really appreciate the time.
That's our poll today on our LinkedIn and a Twitter account. We're asking you, dividends, I mean, how do you sort of view them? How do you consider them in your overall portfolio? You can have your vote. You can have your say on LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Turning now with Sean Saunders, founder and CEO at Revix. Sean, appreciate, as always, early morning time. Looking at on-exchange crypto balances, that data, what is it telling us? I mean, as I understand, that's the holdings from the individuals who are using that exchange.
Morning, Simon. Thanks for having me on again. So ultimately, when you're looking at the flow of cryptocurrencies, and remember, you can actually perfectly map the flow of crypto because, you know, crypto is run on a blockchain. So you're looking at record amounts of cryptocurrency being moved to exchanges. And I mean, this has tapered off a little bit, but over the last 2 weeks, really, we've seen a lot of cryptocurrency sort of record levels from a value perspective move to exchanges, as you've seen this fear and greed index within the crypto space, and as opposed to the broader market as well, move to record levels. I mean, in the crypto space, you had the fear and greed index sitting at the lowest level on record, which was 8 out of 100. So it really is just crypto investors, you know, Bitcoin miners, various staking providers in the crypto space, moving their crypto to the exchanges, looking to liquidate their positions. So, I mean, that's just really the capitulation that's taking place in this market.
And that often, and you know, for my years of experience of equity markets more than anything else, it's often when that fear and greed gets to its worst,
most and its lowest level. When I don't want to say it's the best time, but often it does mean, and it's a brave statement for me to make, but they're probably closer to the bottom than we think.
I think that's exactly it, right? As an investor, you're always looking at the risk versus the reward. Now, if you're looking at the crypto market, with many cryptocurrencies off roughly around 60 to 70% from their all-time highs, mm-hmm. some even more, I mean, perhaps this is the time that you can start taking a look at the market. We at Revix, we say, you know, sort of have a long-term view. This could be a great buying opportunity many years down the line, but don't go and put all your eggs in one basket, right? I mean, diversify into this market and then maybe dollar cost average in, right? Start a little bit, start small, start with a little bit now. If the market goes down, get it at a discount.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And it's always never all the eggs in one basket. The Terra network collapse of about some 2 weeks ago. I mean, what's the key lesson from that? I mean, is that again a scenario of, you know, not all your eggs in one basket?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the segue into that question, right? It is, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Ultimately, diversification is important across all asset classes. I mean, I sound like that typical CFA that's, you know, sitting there giving financial advice. But I know a lot of guys, I'm sure, Simon, you know a lot of guys and girls as well, that had a lot of money in Terra, had money in Luna, had money in UST, and they've really been hit. Now, I mean, if you had invested in, say, our top 10 bundle, yes, you would have been hit. You would have had 10% of your portfolio take a knock. But the benefit there is it's only 10% of your portfolio. So yeah. I think that's ultimately the lesson, really. I mean, the crypto space is highly volatile. The reason that we created our bundles is that we want to kind of encourage responsible investing within the crypto space. It doesn't need to be an asset class that's treated like a casino. And I mean, sure, you can take a couple punts on individual cryptos, but don't forget that this can be a bigger part of your portfolio.
Yeah, I remember back to equities. I remember when Steinhoff collapsed. I mean, I know people had portfolios wiped out, and I held the ETF. And yeah, my ETF fell a couple of percentage points because Steinhoff was in it. But I mean, all was fine. We talk typically. We look at the big sort of cryptos, most notably, of course, the granddaddy in the room, Bitcoin. And you've made the point before that its sort of influence or its weighting in the broader market has been dropping down. Are there some cryptocurrencies that have been performing well in the sort of the sell off we've been seeing, truthfully, for much of this year?
Yeah, so the crypto market has sort of decoupled. I mean, if you had to go 4 years back, when the crypto market went down, you literally saw every single cryptocurrency sort of move together and they would move downwards.
Yeah.
And now you have individual cryptos. And I mean, the market's still pretty correlated, but it is breaking apart. You've got individual cryptocurrencies, probably the most notable of which has been Tron. Tron used to be a top 10 cryptocurrency. It sort of fell out of favor, fell to about number 36 in sort of total market capitalization. And now it's come back sort of with vengeance. It's now, I think, the 10th largest cryptocurrency, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, obviously, this market moves quickly, but that has been sort of the one-star performer in the crypto space. It probably will be moving into our top 10 bundle to replace Luna at the end of this month. So, I mean, that's definitely one to keep an eye on. I'm actually, you know, I've been looking at sort of what's driving the Tron network. There's essentially murmurs that there may be sort of a Terra competitor, if I can call it that. I guess it's no longer competition, really. But perhaps, you know, a new protocol that comes out that looks to address many of the issues that Terra had. So, yeah, I guess that's maybe just one to keep an eye on.
When you rebalance the bundles, which you do every month, do you, because I'm looking at Tron now, and when I caught it up on my system, it offers me Tron versus USD versus Bitcoin versus all the other bits. Do you back it off into the US dollar to get those top 10?
Yeah, so the way that our system works actually is we execute across multiple venues. Mm. So you can go to various crypto exchanges and you'd execute against that order book of that particular exchange. With Revix, you'll be executing across maybe 6 or 7 different exchanges, as well as each of those exchanges' exchange pairs. So, you know, on whatever exchange you may be looking at, you've got, let's say, TRX, so Tron's ticker versus USDT versus USDC versus maybe BUSD, we actually execute across all of those different trading pairs. So the benefit with Revix really is that you're then getting essentially a lower slippage whenever you're executing a trade and the best market prices.
Okay, see, I hadn't understood that part of the equation. Okay, cool. Quick last question, you're running a promo, zero buy-in fees on Bitcoin until middle of June.
Yeah, that we are. So, I mean, coming back to, I guess, the start of the conversation, we have essentially, and this is the analytics team at Revix, they looked back over the last 12 years and they looked at other market corrections and they looked at when the fear and greed index within the crypto space fell below 12. And they essentially found that every single time you bought into Bitcoin for a year after this fear and greed index fell below 12, you would have made a return of at least 35%. That was the absolute worst, mm-hmm. With the median return actually being 70%. Now, you know, history doesn't always repeat itself, but often it rhymes. And so what we did is we said, okay, maybe the best promo right now is to actually offer a fee-free opportunity to buy into Bitcoin. So you can come to Revix, and that's at www.revix.com, and you can buy into Bitcoin with any amount of money from 150 Rand to whatever works for you, completely fee-free.
That's cool. And I'm looking at that fear and greed index, and it makes for some fascinating charting there. We'll leave it there. Sean Saunders, Revix, as always, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday, we were chatting with Dis-Chem CFO Roy Murray on results, but in particular, I was interested in customer shopping patterns. And he said it's getting back to normal. Frequency's up. Basket sizes are down a bit. But the question we asked you was, how's your shopping patterns? Sort of equal number of you, just under half in both cases, just under 50%, were saying pretty much back to how it was pre-pandemic, with the other bunch saying, nah, still less frequent. A small number of you said, no, you're shopping out more than ever. I think a small number because it's cold out there right now. I think have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website to the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchli, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We'll have Roynet results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.